Welcome to the Twisted Rico podcast. I'm your host, Steve Ricardo. People have been saying, what's going on, man? What do you mean, Twisted Rico podcast? What happened to blowing smoke with Twisted Rico? Well, it's a long story. And my team, as I like to call them, it's not really a team. It's just people I'm friends with are like saying, well, maybe you should change the name of your podcast since the blowing smoke people are hassling you. So I was going to go with the Twisted Rico podcast, but now it might be something totally new. But you're going to have to wait. So we're live on WMFO. We have a special, and when I say special, I mean special, live acoustic performance today is Joe Krieger from the outstanding band JVK, who won a New England Music Award and were nominated. I thought they were nominated for one Boston Music Award, but I just found out from Joe that they were nominated from two, and they won one. Oh, no, they didn't win. They won a New England Music Award. But whatever it is, they won something. JVK, by the way, is a band that I have been into very early on. Joe has been on the show twice, so I'm very excited to have her back. So hang on for a few minutes, and Joe's going to play live. I'm so excited I can't even talk. She's going to play live for you. Of course, Mike Newman is manning the WMFO board. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good, Steve. How you doing?
Good. It's great to be here again. Thank you for letting me come back.
Always a pleasure.
How's that? Well, we've made it through another year as a podcast, and as we get ready to start our, I can't believe I'm going to say this, seventh year as a podcast. This has been quite an accomplishment since the original goal was through 100 episodes, and now we're looking back at 360 episodes. It's kind of hard to believe, but it's true. And we're far from done. 2024 may have been a strange year for many reasons, but for this show, it was a fantastic year. Looking back, we had some incredible guests. Our first episode of 2024 in what some people would call a banger. A banger. That's what the young people say. A banger.
Oh, yeah.
Cliff and Bill from The Freeze were on. I can't obviously go through every show, but some of the highlights of the year. And if you can go back and listen to these shows on Apple, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. We had Jonathan Anastas from DYS. Of course, Dave Smalley from DYS, Down by Law, Dag Nasty, was also here. Tim Kerr from The Big Boys. Lindsay and Julie from Deep Valley. Mark Panansky from The Family Township, and Mark's wife. That's right. We do husband and wives on the show, too. Andrea Gillis was on the show. We had Roger Miller of Mission of Burma. That was a good one. Sky Daddy, Sammy Westervelt from Egg Drop Soup, and the Death Valley Girls, David Hall, Jackie Fox from The Runaways, Brenda Red. From just saying all this gets me exciting. I can't believe we even pulled this off. Brenner Red from The Last Gang, Michael Cudahy from Combustible Edison / Christmas, and so many more great guests. Mike Newman, who's manning the board here, and Destiny Coster were guest hosts on a few episodes. And in fact, our live guest today, Joe Krieger, was on the show this past year as well. It was her second time on the show. Now it's her third time. She's in a special club. She's over there giggling. It was truly a year, a great year for the podcast. And thank you all so much. And that includes WMFO, where we have been doing special episodes and hope to do more in the future. Okay, so we're going to play a song, and then Joe Krieger from JVK is going to perform acoustically. She's going to do two songs for us in the studio. I wanted to tell you about one thing, and we're going to play a song associated with. The Bags are playing their 40th anniversary show, if you can believe that, on January 11th, right down the street at the Crystal Ballroom in Davis Square, Somerville, with special guests The Croaks. I love The Croaks, by the way. And Gymnasium. That's Charles Hansen's Gymnasium. Fantastic lineup for sure. In their honor, we're going to go all the way back to the Rockstar album, which came out on Restless Records in 1987. This is one of the great songs that introduced this fabulous three-piece band to you. Are you guys ready to spread it around? Here's The Bags on WMFO. We'll the bags, spread it around. It's good to hear that track. I haven't heard it in a while. I hope you're all excited out there because I'm excited. Are you ready, Joe?
Oh, I'm ready. I am ready.
Joe is ready. I'm not hearing Joe in my headset. Is that okay, Mike?
You should now.
Check.
Yeah, there
check,
she is.
There
okay.
We go.
So Joe's going to play live for us and take it away. Joe Krieger from JVK.
I am JVK. This first one is called Freak.
Drowning it, you miss being sad, go sulking it. I'm in the chair, I'll be the shock of it. I'll come out saying there's no shock in it. You're at the edge, you're in love with it. Got a little edge, then you're flooding it. Then you're soaking the blood of it. A little kiss, I fell in love with it. I'm a freak, you know you like it. You're a freak, I just don't buy it. On the flame, now ignite. You grab my finger, now you add the light to it. Give it up, you wanna swim in the blood of mine. You wanna breathe in the air of mine. You wanna feel the hair of mine. You wanna touch the skin of mine. You're on the edge, you're in love with it. Got a little edge, then you're flooding it. Hey, you're soaking the blood of it. A little kiss of the love with it. I'm a freak and you know. You're a freak and you just don't know. On the flame that's now ignite. You throw my thing and now you add the light to it. So give it up, like the sea. Now you're lost in my little sea, being torn at the seams, because you see that I'm a freak. I'm a freak and you know you like it. You're a freak and I just don't buy it. I'm the flame that's now ignited and you throb, I'm thinking you. So give it up.
Yeah.
Thank you. That last one was called Freak, and I got one more. It's called All I Want. I'm lost in space. You couldn't save me even if you change. Your hair glows off of my brigade. Never change. And I used to think, no matter where I am, what I drink, I want the lifetime of you live. Wrapped around my spine like to lie. You're tired, I'm hopeless, you're lawless, I'm torn. I'm losing the game where I'm the only girl. You're looking, I'm staring, you're blinking, I'm glaring. I lost myself and you caught me with your hook and lure. You know just what you want. I'm taking all I got, I'm taking all my shots. All over shove a sly, your mind looks like a dog. I'm taking all I got, I'm lying when I say you're all that I want. Imagine me, wrapped up in the silk of your sheets. You're in the city calling me safe, please. Just a treat. I wanted more. I wanted everything you could afford. Your parents bought the world, said it's yours. They said I'm yours. Yeah, you know just what.
Thank
you. Holy smokes. Have you always had a voice that strong? Because I've seen like lots of videos of you, and I can tell you sing with a strong voice, but seeing it and being in the room with you and hearing it, it was like I was waiting for some of the light bulbs to break on the wall. I mean, seriously, has your voice always been like that?
I mean, I've always had a deeper voice, and I feel like as I've gotten older, I've been in singing lessons since I was 8 now. So I've really known how to like hone it in, but I've realized I do have a very loud voice. So
I don't really think that you've been on the show twice, but I can't recall actually talking to you about when you started singing. So what, you were only like 8 when you started?
Yeah. Well, so the story is really funny. So when I was in elementary school, there was this group of girls that would go to my teachers at recess and like sing to them, just like sing like little songs that they were on the radio. And I looked at them one day and I was like, I can do that. I don't know. I was like, why not? And I literally had no like thought or inkling at the time of like, oh yeah, I love music. It was just like, I thought I could do it. So I went to them and I sang for them. And then those teachers emailed my music teacher at the time and was like, one of your students can sing really well for such a young age. And so then my music teacher had me sing in front of my whole class. One day I walked in and she was like, can you sing a song for us? And I was like, that's like,
do you
I was
remember,
like, ah, 8 year old me.
The song?
It was Firework by Katy Perry.
Wow.
and so she had me sing, then my music teacher emailed my parents and they were like, your daughter can really sing well. I think you should hone this in. So then my parents were like, you can sing, and then so they had me sing for them, and then that's when the rest is history.
Did you do any school plays or anything like that?
Yeah, well, funny enough, because I went to my singing teacher like found out I could sing, she then a bunch of other students were going to the class and being like, I can do this and I can do this. So then that's what started the talent show at my elementary school.
And that was in the Boston area you went to school, right?
Yes, I was like North Shore. Mass. Mm-hmm.
Wow. So when did you actually decide, you know, I want to take it to another level and like do rock and start? I mean, is JVK, well, everyone know, if you don't know out there and you're listening, we know the story. JVK is your band. Mm-hmm. You had a lineup, it dissolved, and you had a whole new lineup, and you recorded with both, and you just keep getting better and
better. Thank you.
So when did it start with JVK?
No, so I had another band at the time with my current guitarist, Kay. We did. We had a band called Runaway After Dark. It started when I was in middle school, then ended like senior year, freshman year of college. And then as that band was ending, I was like, I don't know how to function without my own project or anything. And so I was at Salem State and I was doing at the music program. And then that's when I realized while I was there, I was like, I'm doing music every day, but I'm not really doing what I want. So then I remember I was just like, I had my friend sneak me into Berkeley. I put up flyers everywhere that's like looking for a band. I put up ads on Instagram, and then I was able to find a band within the next like few weeks after that, all based out of Boston and
Berkeley
kids? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But I was never a Berkeley kid. That was like the biggest misconception for a while, was that people come up to me, they're like, oh, where on campus do you live? And I'm like, I don't go here. But so through
what made
that,
you decide to go down to Berkeley and put up flyers?
I don't really know, to be honest. Well, I was at Salem State, and I think at the time I was like, I need to meet new people, because I had been playing with the same people for a long time. I was like, I want to get myself out there and meet new people and just see what's really out there. I feel like I don't know Boston well. And I remember, and during that time, once I got the band, I dropped out of Salem State to start JVK. And I remember I called my mom and I was like, I don't know if I'm really feeling school anymore. And she was like, do you want to drop out? And I was like, well, I think I do a little bit. And I was like, I want to start my own band. And she was in full support, because I don't know how I would feel as a parent if my kid went to me and was like, I'm going to drop out of college and start a band. So, but
okay,
we've been doing
like,
well.
But you're like only like 21?
Yeah.
You're 21.
Mm-hmm.
And you just did a cross-country tour.
Yeah.
And it was all your idea.
Yeah.
And you guys booked all the dates. Mm-hmm. You don't have a booking agent. You mm-hmm. don't have a manager. See, people out there listening, this is how, I think I said the exact same thing when you were on the show last time. So I'm kind of repeating myself
a little bit.
But I'm really a big fan, as you know. But let's go back to the songs, because I knew both of those songs. Freak is a wild song. Like,
thank
I've
you.
Listened to the lyrics, but when you're sitting here listening and you're playing it live, mm-hmm. and I'm listening to every word, what's going on in that song, Joe? That's a can I say a little dirty, maybe?
it's an interesting one. I wrote it when I was really young too, And it's kind of just like, I remember, it's kind of like from the perspective of like, it's like kind of like taking back like an insult someone had said to you and just being so mad about it and just letting out like your inner aggression in that way. It's like, yeah, you think I'm a freak, but like, I know you like it. It's like, I know you wish you were me. Kind of in a weird way.
Okay, see, I was going down the wrong road then. I was thinking about something.
Mind out of the gutter.
Yeah, my mind, definitely. And the other tune you played is another song.
All
you,
I Want.
Yeah, that's one of your first songs you released, right?
It was off of Who is JVK?
Oh, the second EP.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Freak was one of the first songs I released.
Great. What made you pick those two tracks today?
They're honestly the easiest to play on acoustic.
Okay, now people out there,
I'm being totally transparent.
Well, people
right.
out there listening don't know that when you perform live, you don't play guitar.
No,
you just you command the stage. You're a great front person.
Thank
but
you.
But you've had great guitar players.
Oh,
you
still
do.
Oh yeah.
For people that don't know the band, I'm all tangled up over here. Sorry. I'm used to sitting in front of my Zoom and do interviews at home. And, you know, today I'm like, you know, crazy. talk about, you know, how... Tell the people out there in this audience that are listening live, especially, how you had that one first band and then it dissolved and then you put together a whole new band.
Yeah, right. A lot of it came down to just... musical creative differences at the end of it all, but it was honestly like without having that, I'm technically through like my third iteration at this point, because there was an original lineup, we did one show together, and then I went to Berkeley and I found a bunch of people, and a lot of it came down to like everyone's so busy, and especially where it's like this late in the game, I feel like a lot of bands, like when they have their like one and done lineup, it's because they started so young.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, especially when you're in your adult age trying to find people that will really can and will like commit their time, it's obviously a lot harder. But I got super lucky because with our guitarist now, Atticus and Kayla, you know, Atticus, he, the first time we met was that he saw my old band playing at a skate park show, and then through there was really connected and I needed a fill in one day and I was like, can you fill in? And then he was like, yeah. And then all of a sudden that person was on the band anymore, so I was like, do you want to be in it? And he was like, yeah. And he absolutely loves it and has such a great time with it. And Kayla, I've known since I was 12 years old, because she was in the original band that we were in. We had lost touch for a little bit, and then same thing, I needed a fill in and I had no one else to call, and so Atticus was like, why don't you call Kayla? And I know you haven't talked in a while. So I called Kayla up like out of the blue and I'm like, can you play these shows with us? And she was like, absolutely. And so, and then the rest is history. So it's the three of us, hopefully forever.
I have to credit you with your perseverance, because you're only 21.
Thank you.
And you've been through all of this already.
Yeah.
And now you're writing, you told me.
Yes.
And getting ready to, is it going to be a full length?
Full length album.
After the two EPs, you're going for the full thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a plan, or are you just like, we're concerned about the songs right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, right now my goal is to do 12 songs. And we've been writing away. We just take every weekend. I lock them in my attic, and I say, we're going to write some music.
So you write with Bolt, you write with Atticus?
Yeah, so essentially the process is that I write all the music. I write the songs, and then I send them the songs, and then we just kind of like sit there and flesh out the parts, and, you know, because I only know really enough on guitar to write a song, you know what I mean?
Like chords.
I know the chords, so Atticus will kind of come in and kind of make them more intricate and interesting. He'll add his own parts as well, and then Kayla is just like, just shreds all over it and does such a good job. Like,
she's a great guitar player.
Yeah, she's so versatile with how she writes, and really like, because all the songs have their own personality at this point, and so it's very, very different than anything I've ever written before. And so, but she does such a good job. They both do such a good job with just like fitting the song really well. Cause that's one of the biggest things that I strive to do as a songwriter, is that sometimes it's not about me and what I want to do. It's like serving the song.
So how old are they? Are they your age?
Yeah. Atticus is 22. Kayla is 23.
Wow. You got a really young band.
Yeah.
Okay. For people that didn't listen the last time Joe was on the podcast, we talked about the tour. I wanted you to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, what was it, like 20, 30 dates?
It was overall 28 dates.
And you made it all the way to California.
All the way to Seattle.
Seattle.
Yeah. California and Seattle.
So what's the climate like out there right now? Not the weather climate, but the climate right. out there for a new band, which I know you guys won the best punk band at the New England Music Awards,
yeah.
which is great.
Thank you.
But I don't really think of you as a punk band. Mm. I think of you as a hard rock band. Does
right.
that bother you at all that you
honestly,
have a...
no. I've been thinking less about genre, more just about like what comes to me naturally. And I feel like as I've been, especially more, I mean, just to give like a little sneak peek, it's like we're going a very like 80s retro route next with a lot of like, you know, synth and dance music. But it's also a bit kind of like existential when it comes to the lyricism, because I feel like so we had a whole EP recorded that we were going to release, but then we were listening back to it. And I was like, this kind of just all feels like everything I've released before. Like it doesn't like sit with me well in a way where I feel like, not that I'm trying to reinvent the wheel, but I'm trying to always evolve with each release. And it didn't feel like an evolution, just felt like it was a stagnant point. So I kind of was like, so we were like, okay. And then I kind of had this whole exploration as an artist of like, who am I and what am I doing and why am I doing it and what speaks to me? And I realized that a lot of it came from like a pop retro influence mixed with the hard rock sound. So it's going to be a really interesting record I'm very excited about. But
first, before you continue, let me say that EP that you recorded and you put on the shelf, it'll be out in 10 years.
Yeah.
And it'll be like a collector's item that everyone's going to want. And some of your fans probably now are like, I wonder what's on that EP. I want
right.
to hear that.
I know, right. I think one of the songs might make it. One might make
it. Oh, so you're going to do all different songs?
All completely wow. different.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry. So let's go back to the tour
yes.
experience.
Yeah, so it was really interesting. The areas of the places that went really well were not the places I would have ever expected to have such amazing shows at. Like it was like Oklahoma City was like our highest in merch sales. And
Oklahoma City.
And yeah. Then it was like Jacksonville was like, we had so many listeners from Jacksonville ever since. And
Florida.
Yeah. We really went everywhere. And then there are certain cities that, you know, in terms of like, I expected to love, but didn't love, that I expected to not like, and I loved. And, you know, it's like, when I traveled, I told myself that I didn't allow myself to look at any pictures of any cities. I wanted to go completely blind. And it's got me a little trouble, because I'll go to like the West Coast and I'll be like, oh, I'm going to the beach, and then it'll be snowing, and I'm like, wow, I really don't know anything. And so, I loved the West Coast. That was so much fun to play in. San Diego and Seattle were some of my favorite shows I've ever
played.
I love
those cities.
Yeah, I loved those cities. And a lot of them were my first time going to.
Did you do Portland and San Francisco?
Not San Francisco. We did do Portland.
So you went to Seattle, Portland, LA, and San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
It was really, really
yeah.
Nice.
I lived on the West Coast for a long time, so I know all those places. It's a different vibe out there, isn't it?
It is a different vibe, and I loved it. I was, because I feel like, you know, with Boston compared to other cities, I feel like the other cities have this art that they're almost like unapologetic for, and I feel like within Boston it gets a little bit like cliquey and kind of like a polished version of what the art should be, if that makes sense. And I feel like in all these other cities, they're so unapologetic and they're just like letting themselves out there. And that was so cool to see, you know, even especially in these like small towns where there's not a lot going on. That's where it's like there's so many people coming to these shows. It's like, what else is there to do? Like the craziest part was when we played in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma State was like an hour away, and all of these people like drove an hour to see like their friend's band, and we happened to be there and we played a great show. Like it was amazing.
Oh, so some of the supporting bands helped you make new fans. That's how it's supposed to work.
Absolutely. That was the whole point, was that we knew like in a lot of ways we weren't going to bring out our, like there were some areas where we knew we were going to have fans and people come to the shows, but even then, like a lot of the shows that we did were from the bands like bringing their friends and bringing people they knew. Like I remember we played in Salt Lake City, and we played to like 10 people, but all those 10 people were like dancing on the floor and talking about how they want us to come back. So I was like, that's 10 new people that, you know, that know us and that want to listen, which is really,
you know,
cool.
I found out about some of these things because I used to tour with bands for a long time,
right?
80s, 90s, 2000s, whatever. And I always found that to me, places like Cleveland and Detroit are the greatest places to play because the people there really love music. But in what you said earlier, I understand it. Boston people, it's like sometimes they'll have their arms crossed and they'll look at you and judge you and put you under a magnifying glass.
Yeah, that's how I feel every time. I feel like it's a difference of, Atticus says it best, it's a difference of music appreciators versus music observers. You know what I mean? When it's like people just want to kind of like, they do like cross their arms. And they do kind of give you weird looks while you're performing. And I am a person where like I put it all out there.
Yeah, you
so,
do.
And I have no shame and no judgment in that. And so it's one of those things where it's like I'll be, you know, scream my head off running around in my latex suit and then I'm getting weird looks and I'm like, this is art. I'm like, you know what I mean? I'm just doing my thing, you know? But in so many other places where it's not seen often, like it was so cool to see how appreciated it was. You know, even some of our shows in like the college areas, like we played, like there was one weekend we did on the tour, we did Ames, Iowa and Madison, Wisconsin.
Madison's a big college town, yeah.
200 people.
Wow.
It was like Ames, Iowa was 130, Madison, Wisconsin was 200.
I bet you know the amount of people that were at every show.
Oh, yeah.
And you probably know how many merch sales you did. You probably have it all.
Yep.
21 years old. Amazing. I got so much to ask you right now, but first I'm curious, your parents,
yes,
what did they think about, what did they say to you when you, I know 21, you're an adult, but still,
right.
Your parents are your parents. What did they say when you said, we're getting in the van, station wagon or whatever, we're getting in the station wagon and we're driving across country to play shows, what did they say?
When they first heard it, like they knew, like when we were like the very early like planning stages of it, they were kind of like, yeah, okay, like have fun, whatever. But then I was like, no, I'm like, it's actually happening. Like, I'm going to be gone for.
They didn't believe you at first?
Yeah, no, it's not that they didn't believe me. They were more just kind of like, oh, like they, because like, and nothing had come to like fruition yet. They were just like the very, very early booking stages. They're kind of just like, okay, like that's awesome, you know, whatever. But then I remember me and my mom, we were driving together and she was like, so like your tour, I'm like, how long is it? Like 2 weeks? I'm like, a month and a half. She's like, what? She was like, what do you mean a month and a half? I was like, mom, I'm going through the entire country. Like, how long do you think that takes? And they were nervous about it at first. They were, because my dad's like, I don't want you breaking down in the middle of Kansas, you know, and I don't want that, you know, whatever, but.
Get me AAA, dad.
Oh yeah, I got AAA. But I know what we absolutely had a great time and they were super supportive. They loved all the pictures and it was seeing so much of the country too was incredible. But they've been super supportive throughout everything.
You know, a lot of young bands go on the road like that and then they really find out what their bandmates are like.
Yes.
Did it all work out for you or do you have to kick anybody out of the band?
No, I mean, not this one. But I think the hardest part was, it was like, so we took 4 weeks to get to Seattle. And then took a week and a half to get back to Massachusetts. And that last week of driving, of doing 8-hour drives every day.
So you didn't
day,
have dates on the way back?
We had some dates on the way back. But it was like, it was one of those things. So for it was like, we stayed in Portland on the night we stayed in Seattle. So we got home at like 4 a.m. to Portland. Then the next day had a day off. So we drove to Idaho to Savastop and then went from Idaho to Utah. So that's like, you know, back to back to back.
Yeah, that's a lot of driving.
It's a lot. So it really, I think that was the 1 week that really put things to the test. Because it's like not only, it's like you're not like driving through California or like somewhere. It's like you're driving in the middle of nowhere at night. And you're just kind of like, and then it's like we get to the hotel, sleep, wake up, go. And it's just like back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And it's like never, it was like that 1 week was like kind of like week from hell. But it honestly was such a fun time anyway.
But was everyone getting along?
Oh, yeah. Everyone was getting along. A few butting heads at moments. But like, you know, it's nothing out of the ordinary. We still like each other.
You know, you're obviously a very nice person.
Thank you.
Because I've spoken to you several times
right.
And you seem so nice. But I have a feeling that there's a side of you where you just have to like lay down the law. And you're in charge. It's your band, right?
Yeah, there's definitely a part of that. I mean, I think especially with Atticus and Kayla, it's like I always go to them. And our manager, we do have a manager, Sarah. We met her through, actually, Berkeley. She used to be a Berkeley
student.
Oh, yeah,
you did tell me about Sarah last
time. She's amazing.
Yeah.
She's the best. And she has taught me how to lay down the law in a way. Because especially like throughout times with like different lineups and different, you know, people coming back and forth, you kind of have a hard time with like setting firm boundaries. I feel like that's one of the biggest things that I've learned from JVK is. I have to tell it like it is. So, yeah, that's definitely been something I've developed over time.
Before we get away from the tour, just give us a couple of highlights of what was really good. You mentioned Oklahoma City.
Yes.
And Salt Lake. Was there any other shows that really, Jacksonville, was there anything that really blew your mind?
Yeah, honestly, I would say that one stretch between Iowa and Madison was a huge mind blow with like how many people like that we were able to play to and that we're just out having such a good time. And Jacksonville was great in terms of places that I personally loved going to. Like there was one stretch where we had like 4 or 5 days off, so we went to Lake Tahoe and that was such a fun time. And like, you know, but overall I loved the West Coast and I loved being in San Diego, California, and just really went to the beach in Malibu one day, just like being like, I love the West Coast. Like I know that's going to be my next move at some point. But just being able to...
That's a good move for you. I give that the thumbs up. I spent 3 weeks out there not too long ago, and I lived in L.A. for a long time.
Yeah, we're going again next month, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I love the beach towns, man.
Love
you can't beat them.
You can't beat them.
You know, something else that you mentioned before that I'm glad you mentioned.
Yeah.
Your style and the way you dress on stage, you don't hold anything back.
No.
And, I mean, has that always been your plan? Because I can't stand it when you go see a band and they're all wearing t-shirts and jeans. They don't look like a band. Pearl Jam kind of did that.
Yes.
They're responsible for that. But, you know, I like to go out and see a show and I want to see a band that looks like a rock star. You look like a rock star
when
you're out there. So is that something that's always been part of your... You mentioned the latex because you wear some really outrageous outfits.
Thank you. Well, so essentially, when I first started JVK, it was kind of the first thing that came to my mind. I was like, I should wear black latex bodysuits. And I did it for a while. Then there was a period of time where I was like, oh, I don't know if this is me. So I kind of started to like, not like dress down, but I was more like covering up a little more, trying out different things. But I didn't really feel, like, I looked back on pictures and I was like, I don't look done up at all. Like, I don't really look like a rock star. So then I was like, I want to go back. I'm like, well, I should go back to the bodysuits. I'm like, that was like my thing. Like, I was like, there was no one else like really around me that was doing that. I'm like, why don't I go back to that? And so then I started to like really like jazz them up, get a bunch of new ones off Etsy. And I love it. Like, I absolutely love it. I love like how many different styles you can do and just like having fun with it. And I just like having everything out there, especially where like as a songwriter, I'm super vulnerable and try to like really put my emotions and feelings into everything I do. I was like, I might as well like, I'm putting on a show. You know what I mean? That should be an event. Because that's one of the biggest things I've learned as promoting yourself like as a musician and performing is that if you don't make something a big deal, no one cares. But you have to make it a big deal. And you have to give people a reason to come and see you and to actually listen to what you're saying.
You're years beyond your age because you got it figured out at a young age. And that's the way it is. And if you look at the artists that are making it these days, the younger ones, they all look outrageous, man. It's like part of the act,
Part of the act,
And, you know, if you go back to the English bands of the 60s, the Beatles wore the suits and
there was a brand and there was an element of caring. And it's like when you show that you care, people are going to care more because it gives them a reason to care. It's like, oh, it's like, you know, turn your eye to it. It's like, what you know what I mean? It gives something to look
at. I want to see a show when I go out. I want to see people that dress up outrageous.
It's
and do
so
things.
Fun. And that's one of the things I've been talking to Atticus about too. I'll be like, enough with the jeans. We got to get you in like some like sparkly pants. We got to like try something out.
Your other guitar player's been dressing up pretty cool.
Oh, she's killer. Yeah. No, like she's a total rock star. Absolutely.
Awesome. Let's talk about these nominations and these awards and stuff, you know?
That was so cool.
I mean, the New England, correct me if I'm wrong because I already screwed up once. The New England Music Awards, you get nominated for 4 awards.
Yes, it was Hard Rock, Metal, Punk, and Live Act of the Year.
That's crazy. And you won Best
Punk Act.
Band.
Uh-huh.
And what was it like when you're at... Where were those awards held, the New England Music Awards?
The New England Music Awards was held in Foxborough. Kind of, it was at a restaurant bar venue right across from Gillette.
Okay.
And, well, it was so funny because... So, the whole story is so funny because we were on tour when we found out, driving through California, and all of a sudden, our bassist was like, what's a NEMA? And I was like, Anima? And I was like, what's the context? And she was like, my friend just texted me, congratulations to JVK on your Anima nomination. So we're like, that's the New England Music Awards. And so we looked and we saw we got nominated for 4. And I'm like calling my mom and I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna know. And I'm in the middle of nowhere, like middle of nowhere, California. I think we were driving to Reno, Nevada. And then, and that was so funny. And then, so we went to the awards show. We, what was it? So we get there and a lot of the acts like didn't come to accept their awards. So when we got, so when they said like the winner is JVK, we were the first band to like go up and accept the award.
Good
after
for you.
Like 8 people. They were like, we're accepting this award on their behalf. It was like the 8 times. And then they said us, we're like, we're here, like don't skip past us. We're like running up on stage and I, you know. It was so funny.
And, you know, people take you seriously when you're like that.
Yeah.
And you got nominated for a Boston Music Award as well.
That was so cool.
The great organization that stiffs us every year on my podcast. That's okay. We still love you. So what did you get nominated for?
Rock Artist and Album of the Year.
2 nominations.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a little different when you went to that ceremony, right?
It was honestly, obviously the New England Music Awards felt super real, but because it was like, it was so funny. We were sitting at the bar at the New England Music Awards and these two guys were talking to us. We're like, what's going on here? We're like, it's the New England Music Awards. But this one, it was at Big Night Live, so it was like the big to do and just meeting so many people and everyone's dressed up and I was just like, I'm like, this feels like.
Did you get all dressed up?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I bet you did.
I had to. I was like, I'm not skipping out on this. I'm like, this is the award show. I'm like, we gotta dress up. But that was really, really cool to be at.
Yeah, you know, I think we were talking earlier before we came in here about how awards, you know, nominations and all that, they're cool, but for some people it's really important and other people like they don't care, but I think it is very important for a band like your band.
I think it's super cool. I think it's super cool and it's cool recognition and it was interesting too because I like the way that the nominations came in. This was getting a nominated for both of them was one of my like bonus goals for this year. So the fact that we got nominated,
you had a goal to get nominated.
to get recognized. I wanted to be like, you know, where I want to, I wanted to be able to get recognized. And obviously it was one of those things where it's like, I call it a bonus goal because if it didn't happen, I would have been fine. But it was really cool because for the Boston Music Awards, it was we were in our first session. We just sat down to start the process of our album. And then all of a sudden it was like, congratulations on the Boston Music Awards. So we were like, okay, that's a good sign. We're on the right path. We're doing the right thing. So that was really, really cool.
So you're off to a pretty good start. And this all started in 2020, right?
2020. So we started, I started releasing music as JVK 2020, like the very end of 2020. But I started playing shows February 2022.
You know, I haven't asked anybody your age about this, but the pandemic, what did that do for you in terms of what you were trying to accomplish?
It was really interesting because I was in like a really interesting spot in life because I was had my other band at the time and I was going through a lot of my own personal issues with the pandemic, but the pandemic was kind of like part of what like killed us, you know what I mean? Because everyone's parents had like different opinions. My mom was like, your friends can come, but they have to sanitize their phones and wash their hands every 5 minutes and make sure, you know, whatever. And then like some parents were like, you can't go over at anyone's house, like, you know, whatever. So the dynamic between all of us trying to figure out, and like me and Kayla were like, we need to practice, like we need to keep going. And, you know, so, and like at the time it was like, we were all on very different pages. So it kind of killed us. But then that's when I was like, okay, like I have so many songs. Like, what am I going to do? Just sit on them just because this isn't working. I'm like, no, I need to keep
so
going.
You didn't let the pandemic get in your way.
No.
That was what I was getting at. I had a feeling I knew the answer to that question.
Did not get in my way. No.
Oh, man. So when you first started sending your music out, I know I'm all over the place.
No, I love it.
When you first started sending your music out to people, how did you know who to send it to? And like, who did you send it to?
I really did my research. Especially at the very beginning, because I was like, okay, I have the band now. Well, so I started booking shows for the band like after our first rehearsal, like as JVK,
because
I was like, all right, I need to start playing, because I know some people that just like wait and wait and wait, and I was like, I don't want to wait. I mean, I haven't played shows in like a long time because of the pandemic, so I was like, let's just do it. And so I was just like doing a lot of research, just like cold emailing people, going to shows, trying to get myself out there, networking. And then our first show, like as JVK, was at O'Brien's.
Oh, that's a good place to start.
Yeah, it was cool. So I was so excited. I was like, I'm playing O'Brien's. This is awesome.
Austin Rock City.
Oh yeah.
Have you gone back there and played there more? Like, where do you play around the Boston area now?
Sure, it's a little bit. Our last show that we did was at the Lily Pad.
Yeah,
in
I
Cambridge.
Saw the video of that show. Crazy. Place was mobbed.
Place was mobbed.
Were they like all your friends?
It was a mix of a bunch of different people. So we played with Forrest and Jesse Detour. And they're based out of Berkeley, and they are two incredible artists that have derived a big following, and they are able to bring these like super fans to their shows. And we had some fans of ours, and then a lot of fans for them, and they did such a good job. We all just like really put our all into like promoting the show and making it a big thing. And they're both so talented and so nice and great songwriters, so it made sense for a
so the booking
show.
Agent must have said you can come back, right?
I think so. I hope so. Well, it was also really cool too, because two cool things that happened at that show was especially where fans have been coming to see us more recently, like people I've like never met, they're like, I'm a fan of JVK. That's been the weirdest, but it's also the coolest thing ever. Essentially at that show, two things happened that were really crazy. It was that these two guys came up to us and after we played, and he was like, I found you, Jesse Detour, and Forrest all at the same exact time. And we're from New York City. And when we saw you guys were all playing together, we drove from New York just to see the show.
Come
and we're
on.
About to drive back. I was like, there's no way. I was like, there's no way. Like, I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
That is cool.
And then this other fan of ours saw us at Boston Calling, and she came to one of our shows. Taped the whole thing on cassette and then gave me the cassette and made her own like JVK fan art. So it's like stuff like that's been happening, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I didn't even bring that up. Boston Calling.
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty huge that
you
guys got
to play.
That
was so huge.
Yeah.
Literally, that was like probably like one of, if not my favorite moment of 2024. It was incredible.
Before we get off, I'm curious. Are you listening to a lot of music these days? Like, what are you listening to?
Well, funny enough, a lot of the time I only listen to my own demos, but if I'm being totally honest, because I'm always nitpicking them and, you know, re-listening. But I think in terms of what I'm listening to right now, I've been listening to a lot of Tears for Fears.
Wow, that's cool.
I love the 80s stuff. A lot of Tears for Fears I've been listening to. It's kind of all over the place. I've also been listening to Fontaine's D.C.,
Oh wow!
Love Fontaine's DC. That was another thing where I was on tour. I kept hearing about them, and I was like, all right, let me listen. I'm like, what else am I gonna do for these next 8 hours in the middle of my car doing nothing? But there was that. There's Fontaine's DC, Tears for Fears. Oh my god, I always blank whenever someone asks me this question.
Sorry, you know, but those are two pretty good ones, right?
Oh,
there.
Oh yeah. Oh, Charlie XCX. That's a big one for me. A lot of. Like,
so you
British,
had a brat summer too?
I had a brat summer. Oh yeah, no, that's it's such an incredible album. I listen to it so often. But a lot of the music I've been listening to recently has been like from Europe and the UK, which has been really cool. Yeah,
it seems to me, and this is a good thing, that you're still figuring out your direction and what you want to do, and that's great because everything you've done is great.
Thank you.
I have total confidence. Thank you for coming down here
on
a Saturday morning.
Absolutely.
Early.
I wouldn't miss it for the world.
And, you know I'm a big fan of the band because I've been following you since day one.
Right.
So you got my support.
Thank you.
100%.
Thank you.
All right. Well, okay. Thanks a lot, Mike, for doing a great engineering job over
so
there.
Thanks so much.
And,
you're
welcome. WMFO. You folks out there can reach me anytime at twistedrico@gmail.com. We have Facebook, Threads, Instagram, YouTube, and there is a TikTok page. By the way, that's where I found Joe Krieger on TikTok.
On TikTok, JVK the band.
You probably remember that. I saw you playing a song live, and I wrote you.
Yeah.
And you wrote me back. I said, who the hell are you? And and here we are a few years later.
Here we are.
We're rocking WMFO now.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so that's going to do it for us this time, folks. Thank you so much for listening. Till the next time we say goodbye, this is the Twisted Rico Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Ricardo. keep the rock and roll alive.
All keep right. rock and roll alive.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Joe. All right. I'm Mike. It's about 10:48 in the morning. I got about 10 more minutes to play some music for you. So I'm going to do something from a local Boston artist called Dave Strong, covering the Bostones. This is called This Time of Year at WMFO.
Ho, ho, ho. Ho, 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 ho.
Giving it all. Suck it, but don't even think of it. Investigators undercover, physical dimension discovered, turning my friends into lovers. This could be chaotic, chaotic bisexual summer.
Bassist and drummer, we could be chaotic, chaotic bisexual summer.
It's WMFO. It's 10:59 in the morning. I'm Mike. Thank you so much for being here for the past 2 hours. And thank you to Steve Ricardo for bringing Joe in here from JVK. What a great segment that was. Terrific to have them here. Just heard a short set there. Just ended that with Linnea's Garden and Chaotic Sexual Summer, Bisexual Summer. Let's not get that wrong. Just before that with Jay Giles Band and Giving It All Up. And I forget what I started with. You remember what I started with? Dave Strong covering the Boston's this time of year. So, yeah. Hi, Kirsten.
And it is this time of year.
It is.
This is when the holidays are coming to slowly to an end. We still have New Year's, which I tend to celebrate that European style. So I celebrate New Year's when it's, you know, New Year in, like, I don't know, France or Italy.
Have
some pasta and cheese and go to bed at a reasonable time.
And a lot of bread, too. Nice. Fresh bread.
Yes. I love a baguette these days.
Sure. Hey, so what's going on today as we're in the middle of Dead Week, as they call it?
I call it Cheese Week. I'm starting